Welcome to the podcast of Life Change Church, where we exist to love people to life change. We hope that this podcast is both challenging and encouraging to you. Enjoy the message.
All right, well, good morning, and again, welcome to Life Change Church. We're excited you are here, and again, this is your first time. We are just ecstatic that we know that that's a big decision, so we do, again, have a gift for you at the back of the wall right there before you leave, so make sure you get that as well. And we are in a fun season around here. This is Easter season, and so there's a lot going on, and as you heard Seth talk about, we do have our Easter coming up with four services. So those are our 7, 8:30, 9:45, and 11. I'm just going to try to get here early, and I'll be here for all the right times. But we would challenge you to maybe mix up a little bit, so you guys, maybe if you could, mix your service up if you would like to. If you feel like you want to wake up early, we'd love for you to come to the 8:30 service, as this 9:45 service will probably be one of those that's pretty packed out. And so again, our goal is to make space and room for people. And I'd say this, I challenge you even to invite people now, because we want to, that's going to be a service where, man, if you invite somebody, they're probably going to say yes because it's Easter Sunday. So start inviting now, but also kind of adjust so we can make room. We will pack this out though. It's not beyond us to pack out the overflow section. We've done it before. We'll do it again. So be ready for that as well. And before that, though, we do have next Sunday, we have our Easter egg hunt. And so if you've been around Life Change, we do 10,000 Easter eggs. And this year, we're moving locations, and we're going to do a Vibrant Life Church, which is 858 Garfield Avenue. So mark your calendars for that. Be a part of that. Bring somebody to that, or even jump in and help serve. I will say this, you can still serve with us, but if you do serve, the t-shirt deadline is up, so you unfortunately will not get the free Vibrant Life one-of-a-kind t-shirt, but you can still serve and be a part, which would be amazing, and we love that. We'd love for you to mark your calendars and be ready for that. And then I will say this one last thing before we jump into the message today. Next week, we are going to be having baptisms, and so if you haven't got baptized or you're wanting to get baptized, it's always great to do it the week we plan, because the water will be warm then, all right? And so if you haven't been baptized and you want to get baptized, at the end of the service today, you'll see on the connection card in the seat back in front of you, there's a box that says, I want to get baptized, and we'll just follow up with you, and we'll make that happen, and we'll make it happen next week. So if you're planning and you want to get baptized soon, you could do that, and we'd love for you to be a part of that. Again, we'll be open next week. But today we are going to jump in, and we are going to continue our sermon series, You Are. And so as we start this, I just want to ask you a question. How many of you have ever been told you are something? Some of you laugh because what you were told was not always great, right? In fact, when you cut somebody off on the way to church today, you saw somebody mouthing, you are something not nice, probably, right? The chances are we've all been told you are something. And again, sometimes that's good, and sometimes that's bad, right? Sometimes you've been told things that maybe have sat with you that weren't necessarily great, right? Maybe you weren't the smartest, and you heard in your head somebody say, hey, you're not smart, or you're dumb, or you're lazy, or you're slow. Listen, I am not the fastest runner. Now, I can run for a long time. I've done a couple marathons, which is crazy, but it takes me a while to get from point A to point B. And so I remember when I was in baseball, like this is like Little League baseball, I got what was called, they called me the tortoise. I thought it was turquoise color, so I thought it was cool. But little did I know that they were calling me slow. They're saying, you are slow. Listen, the truth is we all hear things sometimes, right? We've heard things stated over us, these you are statements. And again, they could be bad, right? They could be saying, hey, you're a slow runner, and I take that with me. And then you maybe had something that you hold out to. Or it could be something good. Or maybe you were a smart kid. Maybe people said, man, you are smart. Maybe you were athletic, and somebody said, you are athletic, and you've held on to that your whole entire life, right? And you're proud of that. Whatever it is, these you are statements, man, they stick with us, and they have power. Because those two words, you are impactful. They're important. And as we're going through this series, we're looking at these two words, and we're looking at these two words with what Jesus told us we are. And so last week, Pastor Darrell from Vibrant Life did an incredible job starting this off, telling us that you are forgiving, showing us that Jesus said, you are forgiven. And so today I want to jump in and I want us to look at how you are called. Jesus has called each and every one of us. In fact, he says that to us. So let's go just a little old school right now. I want you to repeat after me. Say it with me. You are called.
You are called.
Now turn to your neighbor. Tell them, you are called. Turn to your other neighbor and do it. All right. I think we get it. But we need to understand, you're called by God. You were created for a reason. I just heard somebody say you're special over here. That is true as well. You're special, but you are called, but you were created for a reason. Listen, you were here. You were created on purpose for a purpose. God called you, and he's called each and every one of us. I want you to understand, if you walk through these doors, you're not an accident. It wasn't an accident that you walked through these doors. It wasn't an accident to get to where you are today because you're called, and God is using each and every moment of your life for something that he wants for you because you're called. Now, I think when we hear that, we think, oh, man, I'm called, but that not really. Like, I think sometimes we limit God's calling to certain things. Right, we limit God's calling to, oh, that's somebody that's at a church full-time. It's not somebody in full-time ministry. Like, that's just a calling is just reserved for a pastor. Or a calling is just reserved for a person who is on the mission field and a missionary somewhere else. But here's what I want you to understand. Each and every one of us, we're called. It's not just reserved for that. Where you are in your life, God's called you for a purpose. Right? If you have a pulse, you have a calling. Because right? You're called. Now, again, I think we think through this, and some of us are like, yeah, but I'm pretty messed up. Like, I don't know if I'm actually called, or maybe I was called, but I'm pretty sure I ruined that calling by some of the things I've done, some of the things that have happened to me. Because the truth is, we're all flawed. The truth is, we all have imperfections. The truth is, we've all messed up. Right? Truth is, there's all some things that we have that maybe we feel like we're lacking in. But here's what I want you to understand. His call is not based on our ability, but it's based on our availability. God wants us simply to say yes and be available for him to work in and through us. And each one of us can do that. And here's the good news. God never calls perfect people. If you're thinking like, man, I'm messed up. Yeah, that's true. You are messed up. Congratulations. I'm messed up as well. The person next to you is messed up as well. In fact, if you look throughout the Bible, it's filled with people who were jacked up, who did some stupid things, who made some big mistakes, but yet God still called them. Hey, I mean, look through it. If you look at Moses, Moses was a murderer. He was still called. He was still called. If you look at David, David was an adulterer. He was still called. You look at Rahab. Rahab was a prostitute. She was still called. You look at Samson. Samson was a womanizer, still called. Right? You look at Gideon. Gideon was a wimp, still called. Listen, whatever you put before yourself and say, hey, this is what I am. I'm a wimp. I'm messed up. I've done this. This is in my past. Guess what? You're still called. It's who you are. God has called each and every one of us. And I think sometimes we look at it and we can look from the human perspective. There's some people throughout history that were called that wouldn't make sense in our own mind, but that's why God's incredible, right? Because he doesn't call us based on our ability. He calls us based on his ability. And he hasn't changed. The same God who called imperfect people throughout the Bible, throughout history, is the same God who still calls us today, even in our flaws, even in our mistakes, even in our lowest points. Right? He's still calling us. So I want you to hear these words today. You are called. You're called. Now, as you hear that, your next question is probably this. What am I called to do? Right? What's next? What does that look like? What am I supposed to do about it? Right. And how do I do it? Listen, I think this is a question that we probably all got to. This is a problem we probably all asked ourselves before. And I think a lot of times we spend a lot of our life trying to figure this out. I mean, there are people bounce from job to job trying to figure out, man, what am I called to do? There are people who will go back to school, and all this is fine. They'll go back to school to study something different, like a whole different field, to try to figure this out. You people could take retreats to try to figure this out. And again, it's a question that we all probably have sometime. Like, what am I supposed to do? But I want us to understand today that a calling is different than sometimes what we think we think. Sometimes I think our calling is just about what we're supposed to do, but here's what I want us to understand. Calling is about who you are before what you do. Right? It's more about who than do. And Jesus didn't just call you to do things, but rather become someone. Your calling isn't just a checklist of activity of things, but it's rather who you could actually become. It's living a life to its fullest and living a life set apart that looks more and more like Jesus. In fact, we see kind of a description and an example of this in Scripture in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9. So we're going to jump to a lot of Scriptures today. So if you have your Bibles, get them ready. If you don't have a Bible, we do always challenge you to download the YouVersion Bible app where you can read throughout the week. There's also our sermon notes, if you didn't know this, on the Bible app. You can find the little bottom right-hand corner, find events, find Life Change Church, and you can actually track right with the sermon notes and make notes and even save it so you can go back to later in the week, but you do have to hit the save button. But in this passage of Scripture, here's Paul, and he's writing to a guy named Timothy. And so Paul was actually the mentor of Timothy. Right? Paul trained Timothy up to do some ministry, and then he put him in charge of the church in Ephesus. And while Timothy was there, things were not going amazing. In fact, he was dealing with people. And how many times, you know, sometimes people don't necessarily always listen. Right? This is what Timothy was dealing with. If we've ever dealt with people, if we dealt with our family, our kids, sometimes they don't listen perfectly. Sometimes people in a church don't listen perfectly. I'm just throwing it out there, right? And so here's Timothy. He's dealing with this church that didn't necessarily listen to him, so he's getting a little frustrated. He's getting a little discouraged, and he's even questioning what he's supposed to do. So Paul writes to him to remind him of his calling and to remind him where his calling comes from. And he says this in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9. It says, he saved us and called us to a holy life. Not because of anything we've done, but because of his own purpose and grace. And this grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time. Here's Paul, and he's telling Timothy, listen, he hasn't called you just to, do something. He hasn't called you to make the church in Ephesus perfect, to make sure everybody listens, to make sure everybody's in line. He's called you. What's he called you? He's called you to become somebody. He's called you to become a person that lives a holy life. And it's not because of anything you've done, and it's not because of anything that you will do, but it's because of the grace of Jesus himself. Right? Paul's reminding Timothy of this, and he's reminding us of this as well. He's reminding us that we're called to be not just do. And if you look at it all throughout the Bible, you see talking about calling, you never tie it back into a career. When God's talking about a calling, when the Scriptures talk about a calling, when they write about it, they're always talking about a calling of who you're supposed to become. And who you're supposed to become is more and more like Christ. Right? So I just want to give you what you're called to. As we look at it, here's who we're called to become. We're called to become more like Christ, which means we're called to be saved, we're called to be sanctified, and we're called to be a servant. Right? We're called to be saved, we're called to be sanctified, and we're called to be a servant. Understand this, you are called to be saved. You are called unto salvation. Right? God loved us. We say this every week. God loved us so much that he gave his son to live a perfect life, die on a cross, and be risen again for us. Listen, he loved us so much that he gave everything. He gave his one and only son. Why? Because he's calling us to that. He wants a relationship with us. He wants to be connected with us. He wants our sin to be washed away. He wants to look at us and see us as righteous through the righteousness of Christ. And he's calling us to that. He's calling us to be saved. And then he's also calling us to be sanctified. Sanctified means this. It means set apart. And it's a process of being set apart. It's a process of changing our life and looking a little bit different. Listen, we call this life change. It's a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. And this takes time. Here's what I know. Right? We celebrate when people make a decision for Jesus. We celebrate when people get baptized. Next week, we're going to have baptisms. We're going to hoop and holler. We're going to cheer. It's going to get crazy. But here's what we know. We don't expect the person that's walking, getting baptized, coming out of the water, we don't expect them to be perfect. In fact, we don't expect them 10 years from now to be the same as they are when they come out of the water. We want them to be different, and it's a process of growing. It's called sanctification. And listen, we're here for that. We're here to love people through that. That's what loving people to life change is all about. And it's what we're called to. You're called to be sanctified, and then you're called to be a servant. We're called to serve others. We're called to use our gifts and our talents in the church, in the workplace, in our families, in the world. We're called to use these things that God has given us, and each and every one of us have different gifts. Each and every one of us have different talents, but we're called to use them not just for ourselves, but to serve others, to make a difference in others' lives. Right? Listen, for some of us, man, we have some incredible giftings. We can sell a ketchup popsicle to somebody in white gloves. And listen, that is a gifting that God's given to us. Why? So that we can use it to further the kingdom. Amen. Right? Some of us, we can teach like the paint off the walls. God's used you so that you can do that, so you can use and further his kingdom. Some of us, man, we are called to change and like fix cars like nobody else. Listen, I look at a car, I look underneath it, there's a lot of parts. I do not know what I'm looking at, right? But I know that car gets somebody from point A to point B so that they can reach their calling. So, and I know when it gets fixed, it's important that somebody can fix it the right way. Right? That's a calling. Some of us are called to build buildings and do different things. Some of us are called to serve people in the public and give people food because they're hungry, right? This is what we're called. We're called to certain things when we're called to serve others. We're called to serve others, and it's who we're called to become. It's not just do, but we're called to be a servant. But I think the problem is too many times I think we just take our calling and we minimize it just to a to-do list, right? And listen, when we do this, it's confusing, it's frustrating, and sometimes it's belittling if you look at it. I mean, think about it. If it's just a to-do list, it often becomes confusing, right? Because if you're just thinking about, man, my calling is what I'm supposed to do, you're always going to wonder what you're going to do next, right? I mean, think about it. Have you ever been there before? As I hear people always say this, hey, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. Like, what's God calling me to do? I often say, hey, what did he tell you to do last? Did you do it? Right, do that. But what that really is saying, hey, who did God tell you to become? What's God working on in your life? Because there's a bigger picture than just the to-do list. And when we only leave it to the to-do list, it is. It's confusing because we always want to know what's next. And here's what I know about God. Oftentimes, he doesn't give you the what's next. I mean, I wish I had the playbook for like Life Change Church. I had the playbook for Life Change Church when we launched in September of 2014. I can show you. It looks nothing like I thought it was going to look like. We don't get the playbook oftentimes. Why? Because he's not calling us to do something. He's calling us to become something. He's calling us to become someone that looks more and more like Jesus. And when we just get caught up in the to-do list, it's confusing, right? And we're always going to be chasing what's next. We're always going to be chasing what's next without even knowing what it truly is. And listen, that's frustrating, right? So when we just make our calling about a to-do list, we're going to be frustrated. Because the truth is, we're never going to fulfill it, right? It's frustrating. And when we do that, what we're doing is we're turning faithfulness into pragmatism. And listen, I'm all about that. Like, I love checklists. Like, I'm a nerd, and I have a Google Calendar, and when I do something on my Google Calendar, I turn it from the generic Google color to red, because that buddy, it's done. And it's red, it's done to me. But we can't do this with God. Too many times we do this with God, and we try to make him just something that we can check off, right? But what we're doing is we're turning a relationship into religion when we do it, and we're always going to be frustrated with that. We're always going to be frustrated with that. And really, it diminishes our true calling. It belittles our true calling. Because listen, when we make a calling just about a to-do list, we can put these activities, we can put these to-do things, and we can say, oh, well, this one's more important than this one. And then what are we doing? We're saying somebody's calling is more important than somebody else's calling. We can look at it and be like, oh, well, his to-do is more important. It reaches more people. It does more things. It seems more powerful. It's more in the spotlight. It's highlighted more. So that must be more important than mine. And what do? We just belittled our calling. We belittled who God has actually called us to be. Not because of anything that we're looking at, not because of any truth to it, because we've actually taken his calling and made it a to-do instead of a become. And here's what I want you to understand when it comes to your calling. The size of your assignment never determines the significance of your impact. Right? Who you're called to become is more important than anything you could ever do. And if you're called to become a servant, it may look as simple as buying somebody a Mountain Dew at a gas station, right? And you're thinking like, what? Why did I do that? Why? Because that Mountain Dew could have been the hope that that person needed for the day, which changed their life, which may have spiraled into the fact that their whole family's changed, whole generations were changed. And from there, maybe you see one of the greatest preachers that ever lived or see anything along these lines, right? Why? Because of something small. That small, little teeny thing that doesn't come from a to-do list, but comes from a place of becoming. It can domino into something so much bigger. Because becoming is all about our faithfulness and obedience to Christ. And it's who we're called to become. Paul says it this way in Colossians 3:17. He says, "And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to him, the Father, through him." Right? In becoming, it's all about our faithfulness to Jesus. It's all about our faithfulness in Jesus. Again, calling is about who you are before what you do. And understand this. You are called. You're called. Each and every one of us in this room, you're called. And your calling, I want you to understand this, though, too, is your calling comes at a cost. Your calling comes at a cost. It cost God his son. Jesus died on a cross so that he could say, "You are called." Jesus paid the penalty for all the stupid things we've done so that he could say that you are called. What's amazing about that, in just a couple weeks, we're going to celebrate the fact he died on a cross, but that's not the big news. The big news is that he went to a tomb and he left it empty. Like, that's the big news. And because of that, he conquered death. Because of that, he conquered our sin. And because he conquered the sin, he says, "You are called." You're called. But it did come at a cost. It came at the cost of Jesus' blood and body, broken for us. Let us remember that, right? As we think through this, as we hear these words, let us remember that power. But let us also know this. It came at a cost for God, but it comes at a cost. It comes at a cost for us as well. And here's what I want you to understand. The moment you step into your calling is the moment you step out of your comfort zone. Right? Your calling will always cost you your comfort. In fact, the biggest enemy of a calling is our comfort. Right? It's just the way it is. And it doesn't get any easier. As you continue to say yes to God, as you continue to become who God wants you to become, as you continue to live out your salvation, as you continue to be sanctified, as you continue to serve others, there's going to be some things behind the scenes that are going to hurt. Right? There's going to be some rejection here and there. There's going to be some things where you're completely misunderstood. There's going to be some spiritual attacks. And here's what's crazy, is that some people will never know it. And the more public your calling is, the more private attacks you'll get. Right? Private pain is a big part of public calling because our calling comes at a cost. And here's why I know. Serving Jesus is both a gift and a grind. Right? Salvation is both a thrill and it's a burden as well. And sanctification is both exhilarating and exhausting. And if you don't think that's true, you're probably doing it wrong. Because the truth is, it can wear us down. It can drain us physically. It can exhaust us emotionally. Like, it can even discourage us spiritually. In fact, if the devil can't destroy you, he wants to discourage you. Hey, you're going to go through it. You're going to go through it. That's the cost of a calling. Hey, following Jesus is the greatest gift and the greatest burden you will ever receive. Right? Because our calling comes at a cost. Here's what I know. God never promised it would be easy, but he did say you are called. And here's the good news, though. Although calling comes at a cost, our calling is also what sustains us and keeps us moving forward. And it's what keeps us going. Right? Our calling to be saved, our calling to be sanctified, our calling to be a servant is what allows us to move forward. It allows us to fight through the hardships, through all the costs. Again, if you look at the words, we looked at the words of Paul already. Paul's a guy who went through some cost. He went through some hardships, but yet he finished the race. If you look at Paul, his life is crazy, right? He was persecuted. He was falsely accused. Right? He was imprisoned. He was imprisoned wrongly. Then he was tortured. He was whipped. He was stoned, not like smoking anything, but like throwing rocks at. Like he was stoned. He was bitten by snakes. He was beaten, left for abandoned. He almost drowned on a ship. All of these things, right? He was going through it, and it was bad. There was some huge cost to his calling, but yet he was still faithful. He still endured, right? He could have got bitter. He could have quit. He could have been discouraged, but yet he pressed on. And here's why. It's because his calling sustained him. Our calling sustains us, right? Paul didn't finish because he was competent. Paul finished because he was called. And the same is true for us. Listen, you're called, and it's not because you're competent, and you're not going to finish because you're competent. You're going to finish, and you're going to finish strong because you're called, and your calling sustains you. Right, here's what I know. Paul knew he was saved. Paul knew he was sanctified. Paul knew that he was a servant of the Lord Most High. He had this internally, and he knew, right? And it's what sustained him. Listen, when I planted the church, there's some crazy things that happen. And I had some mentors say, hey, listen, like, it's going to stink. Right? The highs are going to be really high. The lows are going to be really low. It's going to be bad sometimes. And when I remember my mentor, my pastor said, he's like, I don't want you to come crying to me, right? Because when it gets hard, like, I want you to go back and remember that you were called because your calling sustained you. Paul understood this. He said this in Philippians 3, 13 through 14. He says, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. What'd Paul do? He pressed on. He strained towards what's ahead. Why? Because God called him. He finished the race. He kept the faith because of his calling. He had this can't stop, won't stop mentality because of his calling, right? In Corinthians, he wrote it this way in 2 Corinthians 4, 8 through 9. He says, we are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. Right? Hard pressed, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Right? Struck down, but not destroyed. That's the power of being called. That's the power of his calling. It allows us to overcome and allows us to remain and look to something that's solid. Because when it comes to our calling, understand this. It can't be taken away from you. You're called, and there's nothing that can change that. Thinking like, yeah, but I messed up. Yeah, that's true. You're still called. Right? Yeah, but I'm not able to do what's next. Yeah, you're still called. You're called, and nothing can change it. God's called you for a purpose. In fact, his calling is irrevocable. He's going to give you gifts that he's not going to take back from you as well. And Romans 11, 29 says, for God's gift and his call are irrevocable. Understand this. You are called, and there's nothing that you can do about it, right? You are. Listen, you're saved. Right? God's called you to be saved, so accept it. Jesus' blood was shed for you, and it's going to be shed over and over and over again. He did that on the cross for you. You're called to be sanctified. He called you to go closer to him, and he's always there trying to challenge you to get you so you come closer to him. He's calling you to serve others, and he's always going to call you to serve others because you look the most like Jesus when you serve. You're called, and there's nothing you can do about it. So guess what? Just live it out. Live it out. Respond to the calling. Respond to the calling. In fact, here's one of my challenge for you today is this, is to respond to the calling by saying, here I am, right? As you hear the words, you are called, respond back by saying, here I am. Listen, this is huge. This is huge, and it allows us to become who God's truly called us to become. If you look through the Bible, the people God called, the ones who made the difference, the ones that changed, the ones that we read about are the ones that said, here I am. In fact, in the Old Testament, you see a guy named Isaiah. He responded this way in Isaiah 6, 8. It says, then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? And I said, here am I. Send me. Right? If you look at Isaiah, he lived during the time of Israel and Judah where they were really rebelling against God. So much so that God let them be overtaken by other nations. So here they are. They're in a pretty bad place. But they're kind of living their life. They want to go. And Isaiah says, he sees this. And Isaiah says, here I am. Send me. Here's what I know about Isaiah. He knew that it wasn't going to be easy. How many times, you know, when you go to somebody that they're living their life, they want to live, whether it's in sin, whether it's craziness, whether it's just in their own pleasure, they don't want you to hear, like, they don't want you to say anything. They don't want to hear you say, hey, don't do that anymore. This is what Isaiah was walking into. He knew that it wasn't going to be popular. He knew that he wasn't going to be liked. And he didn't know the next steps, but he still said, here I am. Here I am. Send me. And because of it, God did some amazing things. Because of it, God used him to actually prophesy about Jesus. He used him to prophesy about the Savior of the world. Not just the Israelites, but the Savior of the world. This is the power of saying, here I am. And this is what we're called to do. When he says you're called, you're supposed to say, here I am. Again, if you look at Paul, we've talked about him. He did the same thing. If you look at Paul, Paul was pretty messed up. Paul's a guy who, before he knew Christ, he actually persecuted Christians. He persecuted those who were sharing the news of Jesus. But then in Acts chapter 9, he had this encounter with Jesus where he's walking on this road to Damascus, and then this bright light came, knocked him on his rear end, and as he's down and out, he's like, what is happening? And he even asked, who is this? And so Jesus answered him in Acts 9, 5 through 6. He says, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. And he replied, now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. And guess what Paul did? He got up, he went into the city. He said, here I am. He ended up meeting this guy named Ananias. Ananias, him talked, they prayed together, and the next thing you know, Paul's released, and he's preaching the good news of Jesus. He's preaching the gospel. He's changing people's lives. He's starting churches left and right. He's writing most of the New Testament. Why? Because he says, here I am. Here I am. Listen, my challenge for you to say, here I am. God's saying, you are called. So say, here I am, save me. The first step to respond to his calling is say, here I am, save me. It's to accept his salvation. Listen, in a moment we're going to close, and we're going to ask you to pull out the connection card in the seat back in front of you. And like we always do, the very first box says, I want to make a commitment to follow Jesus. What that is a step accepting your calling, saying, here I am, save me. Maybe for you, that's where you're going to start today. Listen, I challenge you to do it. God loves you so much that he gave his son for you. He gave his son to die on a cross and be risen again for you. And he's asking you simply to say, here I am, save me. Accept that calling. Accept that forgiveness. Right? Accept that freedom and say, save me. Say, save me. Right? Say, here I am, save me. For others, our step is to say, here I am. I'm sanctified. Sanctify me. We need to accept the sanctification and walk in that process to become more and more like Christ. This means that there's parts of our lives that are going to change, right? Sanctification is a growing relationship with Jesus. There's things that we may need to change so that we actually look like Jesus. This might involve some repentance. This might involve actually turning away from some of our sins. Yeah, there still may be temptations there. Yeah, we still may turn our look, but we need to, at the moment we're going into that, we need to pray, God, help me. Right, here I am, sanctify me. Help me walk away from this and repent from this so that I'm actually changed and that I look more and more like you. Help me to say yes to you and say yes over and over again. And when we say yes to God, what we're really doing is we're saying no to ourselves. Right, Jesus said it this way in Luke 9:23. As he says, then he said to them all, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. Part of us saying, here I am, sanctify me, is denying ourselves. Think about this. What do you need to deny yourself so that you can say yes to Jesus? Listen, whatever it is, I challenge you to do it. And listen, there's ways to do it. All right, part of this process is prayer. All right, spend some time in prayer, asking God to help sanctify you. Listen, if you don't know how to pray or you don't know really what to pray for, I'll challenge you. We have prayer on Sunday nights from 5 to 7 here. All right, we'll have somebody here that will actually pray with you. You can come for 2 hours if you want. You can come for just a little bit of time. All right, you can ask, hey, I just need to know how to pray a little bit better. Or, hey, I need you to pray for me. Like, show up. All right. A guy named Mike Livingston would be happy. He leads that. He would be happy to pray with you. In fact, what's kind of cool is this happens during where we have student life. And a lot of times some student life people will come over and just be prayed for. So how cool is that, that this next generation is already being prayed for and prayed over and learning how to pray? Why? Because they're sanctified too. Listen, we're sanctified. We need to walk in that. I challenge you. I challenge you to say, here I am. Sanctify me. Right? It happens through prayer. It happens through worship. Again, worship is placing God above everything else. Spend some time saying, God, here I am. I'm sanctified. Let me just place you above everything else. Right? It also happens through life groups. Here's what I know. If you spend time with people, you're going to become like those people. And why not be intentional about spending time with people who are trying to get closer to Jesus? Right? That's what life groups are all about. And it's a way that we can sanctify, that we can walk in this calling of being sanctified as well and becoming more like Christ. Right? Philippians 2:5 says, has the same mindset as Christ Jesus. Right? We need to have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. That's what sanctification is. And we need to steer and put our life in that direction. And we do that by saying, here I am. Sanctify me. And then lastly, say, here I am. Make me a servant. More importantly, make me your servant. I'm here to serve. Right? Some of you know this because you wear the shirts. Right? But we're here to serve. I say this all the time, but we look the most like Jesus when we serve because that's what he did. That's the example he set for us. And listen, I challenge you. Say, here I am. Make me a servant. Make me a servant. Make me a servant here at the church. Maybe that's the starting point for you. So serve here at the church. Listen, there's so many opportunities. You can serve in our ushers. You can serve as our greeters. You can serve in parking. You can serve in kids' life. You can serve in the tech team, like learning different things. Listen, whatever it is, man, I would challenge you to do it. I challenge you to do it. And listen, part of this will obviously help the body of the church because we need you, but part of this is going to help you as well because you're going to take this and you're actually going to walk in your calling of who you are called to become and a calling to become a servant of Christ. So I challenge you to do it. Right, there's multiple ways to connect in it. You can go through the Church Center app. You can sign up on the connection card, circle that. There's serve team applications in that booth back there behind the doors as well. Whatever it is, I challenge you to do it. But don't just end at the church. Listen, I challenge you to serve your community as well. Right? Show the hope and the light of Jesus through how you treat others. Right? Serve in the community. Right? Serve in your workplace. I say this over and over again, but we should be the best employees. As Christians, we should be the best employees and the best employers. Right? We should be serving others. The things we do shouldn't be out of just like dreadfulness, be like, oh, I can't believe I have to whatever. No, you know what I get to do? I get to serve that person today. I get to help that person today. Right? Not because my boss told me, but actually because that's who I am. I am a servant of the Lord Most High. I'm a servant, and I'm called to show others the love of Jesus, and I can do this in my field because God has created and given me gifts and placed me in this place for a reason right now, so I'm going to walk in that. Right? Be a servant. Be a servant in your workplace. Be a servant in your family. Right? God's called you to be a servant. He's called you to be a servant in your family, to serve your family. Listen, I challenge you to do it. I challenge you to do it. Jesus said this in Mark chapter 10, verses 43 through 45. He says, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be slave to all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. And to give his life as a ransom for many. Listen, Jesus set the example for each and every one of us. So we need to respond by saying, here I am. I'm a servant. Here I am, I'm your servant. You are called, so respond by saying, here I am. And here's what I know. When we say, here I am, it's what really could open the doors to somebody else. Our yes could just be the door opening so somebody else could say yes as well. And when we say, here I am, it's what actually keeps us going. It's what could sustain us. So here's what I know, life gets tough sometimes. Life is not easy, but when we understand who we're called to be, not just what we're called to do, but who we're called to be, when we understand that we're called to be saved, when we understand that we're called to be sanctified, when we are called to be a servant of the Lord Most High, we will continue to move forward through the ups and through the downs. Right? Your calling is about who you are before what you do. So let us respond by saying, here I am. And let us finish strong, as Ephesians 4:1 says. It says, as a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you've received. Let's pray.
Thank you for listening to the Life Change Church podcast. If you are here today and you're listening and you made a decision to follow Christ, we would love to hear about it. Or maybe you're here and you're listening and that God is asking you to make the next step with whatever that it is in your life. We would love to hear about it and partner up with you. And let us know if you made a decision to follow Christ. Let us know what God is asking of you. And if you need prayer, we would love to partner up with you in prayer as well. We hope that you enjoyed the podcast and that it both encouraged and challenged you. Have a great week.